Are we all good? Okay. Are we more theologically aligned right now? Okay. Can you see why a lot of pastors will say it's not God's will to heal when a healing does not take place? Yeah, but as we're going through it, we should not be blaming God for not healing, right? Just like we don't blame God when somebody doesn't get saved. We still say it's God's will, right? But the other person, you know, some people don't get healed because they really don't want to get healed. It's like I tried to cast out demons out of Christians and didn't work. And, of course, my natural instinct is that, man, I what happened to my power, right? It wasn't a power issue. It was because they didn't, you know, in a weird codependent way, some Christians like having a demonic force in their life because they can't find friendship outside, which is so sad. So on one hand, when they're going through the torture, they want it out. But on the other hand, when they're alone, they want the demon. Right? So.
Could you say that again?
What part? some don't want to get healed because they want the friendship of that demon.
Thank you.
Or that applies to sickness for some weird, because it draws attention to themselves, right? Oh, poor little you and all that. They like that attention, right? So there's so many reasons. I mean, the book that I'm coming out with lists all these things out. Okay, let's go to the next one. Healing may require more than one prayer. Now, the reason I say this one is there's a very pervasive doctrine out there, and it's based on Mark 11:24. Whatsoever, it's not in my notes here, but you just write down. Mark 11:24. You know, in James, in fact, I'm preaching this tomorrow. In James, it says the prayer of faith will heal the sick, right? Well, what is the prayer of faith? Mark 11:24. Okay, whatsoever you believe, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall receive, then you shall have them, right? That's Mark 11:24. All right, with all faith, you can believe and all that kind of stuff, okay? So here's how this doctrine has evolved from that prayer of faith. Okay, if you're supposed to believe that you have it, then you don't need to pray a second time. Because if you pray a second time, it means that the first time you pray, you didn't believe that you had it. Right? Have you heard that doctrine? Okay. Okay, then tell Jesus. Okay? Tell Jesus not to pray a second time. Right? Because if that doctrine is true, Jesus should not, because he's got ultimate faith. He does not have little big faith. He's got a real big, robust. Anyway, he's a son of God. He is God himself. All he has to do is pray once and that's it, right? Okay, then let's look at this passage. Mark 8, verse 22 starting. Then he, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Okay, let's stop right there before I continue. Okay, so a blind man came to Jesus. Okay, remember, this is the guy with the ultimate robust faith. And he spit on his eyes. Whoa. Okay, I don't know if I would let Pastor Rick do that to me. But if I knew for sure I would get healed, spit away, bro. Okay, spit away. Okay. There might be some spitting tomorrow night. Anyways, so he spat. And then he asked him, you know, do you see anything? And by the way, I'll talk about this later too. When you're ministering, there's a lot of people, after they pray, they want to just kind of end the session right there. Okay? Jesus tested the prayer. There's a lot of Christians afraid because they're afraid of the answer. Okay? Like Heidi Baker, she asked, do you see anything, right? And no. Right? I mean, that's a deflator, right? No. I just prayed. I got robust faith. No. Okay? So he asked, how else are you going to know? Okay? How else are you going to know? If you don't ask and Jesus walks away, what was the answer? I see men like trees walking. What does that mean? What does it mean to see men like trees walking? It's like this. Do you know Terry Wong has 22,000 vision? That's what my optometrist told me. Okay? Meaning that what I see 20 feet away, the person who has 20/20 vision can see 2,000 feet away. That's how bad my eyes are. Okay, that's what 22,000 means, okay? Like my youngest son has 20/30, okay? So that means that what he sees 20 feet away, the 20/20 people can see 30 feet away. You know, it's not so bad, right? Mine's so bad, okay? It's like, whoa, what a difference, right? You look like bushes to me. You don't look human to me, okay? You look, you know, because you're so blurry to me, okay? In other words, after Jesus, with robust faith, prayed for this blind man, the blind man still saw blurriness. If Jesus didn't ask him, what do you see, and walked away, first of all, I think he probably would have rejoiced that he can see something now. But not really. Because how does he know what a tree looks like? Because he once saw. So would he have been happy just to see blurriness? No, because he once saw perfectly. Something happened in his life to cause him to be blind. Whatever it is, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But just to be left at this blurry state, good thing Jesus didn't walk away. Good thing Jesus asked him, what do you see? And if we don't ask that, okay, I'm speaking to those who want to develop a prayer ministry, you won't know. And you may have stopped short of the real healing that's coming. Okay? And again, if Jesus was following this pervasive doctrine today that you only have to pray once, the guy would have only saw blurriness. But he took the time to ask. Then, verse 25, then he put his hands on his eyes again, a second prayer. See, a second prayer. And made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, this passage, you know, I've done enough theological studies. There's so many applications about it. You know, some people, they only, you know, see spiritual things partially, and then you need another anointing or a touch before you can see something clearly. You know, there's all that kind of stuff, okay? But as it applies to physical healing here, there's something to be learned here. It's that it's okay to pray a second time. In fact, I'll cover this too. When you ask, it's okay to even ask. If they're going through some kind of pain, okay? You got a bad knee? Oh, yeah, it's been really painful. What's the pain level from 0 to 10? 0 being no pain, and 10 mean we have to rush you to the hospital. Like, where are you with that? Probably like a 7. You know, like, don't take me to the hospital. I don't need that. But it really painful. I can't walk properly and all that. Okay. So then I pray for the person. Then I ask, what's your pain level now? Okay. And most of the time when I pray for people, it will decrease. Okay. Now, if it goes down to like from 7 to 2, you know what I'm going to do? Yes, because I want it down to 0, right? Now, if it goes from 7 to 6, okay, and there's like a whole line of other people, I'm going to move on to the next people. You know what I'm trying to say? But I'll say, keep on trusting the Lord, you know, because something started, okay? But I'm not afraid to pray a second time, okay? There was one time in our church, a word of knowledge was given about somebody needing healing, migraine headache for 2 years. And I asked my youth pastor, lay hands on him right now, and prayed. I says, how is it now? What was your pain level? Well, it was like a 9. What is it now? It's a 6. And I said, youth pastor, pray for him again. Everybody stretch forth your hands. And we're all doing it. And then went from 6 to 3. I said, one more time. Okay? Because it's coming down from 9 to 6, now to 6 to 3. Let's get right down to 0. And we prayed a third time. And everybody was praying in tongues and everything. I said, how are you now? 0. It, no more headache, no more pain. Hallelujah. We pray 3 times. Is that okay too? I've got a sermon, Pastor Rick, I showed where somebody got prayed once and got healed. I showed a person got prayed twice, healed. 3 times healed. 7 times got healed. 3 weeks and got healed. I'm not going to put a timing on God. I'm just going to be faithful and build up my robust faith, praying, believing that it's God's will to heal. The timing's up to him, and he knows the situation and all that, but I'm going to do my part. But I'm not going to quit thinking, oh, it's not God's will to heal. Am I getting that message across? It's God's will to heal always. You said it to each other already. Let me In fact, let me from my research. This is what we, in fact, let me say this right now. Okay. Being partially healed, can we rejoice over that? Okay. Let's say that, let's go to the headache stuff. This is driving you nuts. So you go to a doctor, okay? And you said, you know, I've been struggling with headaches and all that. Is there anything you prescribe? Because I've tried Tylenol, Advil, I've done it all. You know, it says, oh, yeah. Well, you know, for your case, take this right now. And then you take it and go, oh, you know, my head was throbbing when I walked in here. But now it's just like it's still hurting, but I can bear with it. Okay, that's the best I got. Co-payment outside, don't see my receptionist, all that stuff. When you walk out of there, are you happy? Yeah, right? It's not throbbing anymore, and you can kind of bear with it. I'll take it. If we're okay with a physical doctor, can we not trust God that if we get partially healed, there's going to be more coming later? Amen. Right? Because a little bit is still better than nothing. But sometimes when it comes to God, we have this, again, this like, God, you got to do it all, or I'm not going to trust in you. Like, you got to, man, my relationship with my spouse, I don't want to hear, have any arguments, or else I'm going to stop trusting in you and this marriage. No, come on, let's be realistic. Some things take time. A little improvement is still worth praising God over. This is what I'm trying to say here. Okay, let me show you some stats here. Now, do not publish this. Do not say Terry Wong said this on Facebook, okay? I'm trusting in you that this is just for general illumination, okay? This is not gospel truth or whatever. But from all my reading of 200 books, from all my experience ministering in healing ministry, and from talking to other people who are even more anointed in healing than me, this is what I have come up with, okay? General stats. Is that when you have somebody who is anointed with a healing ministry and they're praying over people, here's what I've noticed. And again, plus or minus 5%, okay? And again, do not quote me or I'm going to get mad at you guys, okay? I'm going to show you why I was on the Taekwondo Olympic team, okay? So you don't want to get me there. 25% of people that get prayed over are completely healed. Okay, by the way, when I put this in my dissertation, all my professors, do not say this is gospel truth. Just say from your observation, because then it's an opinion subjective, okay? So I put that disclaimer on right now. 50% are improved. Now, I find this in my ministry too, meaning 3/4 for every 4 people, so these 4 people, right? You know, one of you, nothing will happen. But I don't sweat it. That's where my faith level is right now. Okay? And I don't know the situation. I mean, if you, brother, I don't want to make any false accusation, okay? But he could be sinning in the background. I don't even know it. He knows it. And that's what's stopping him from getting his healing. I don't know that. So again, I'm not going to say it's not God's will to heal. Okay? It is, but he's sinning, right? I don't even know it, right? For whatever reason, okay? And I'm just using one example, you know. But if that's true, these two, there'll be some improvement. Right, you had elbow pain, I prayed for it, and now it's less pain. Hallelujah, just improvement. But this sister, hallelujah. You know, prayed for that shorter leg, and the leg grew out. Like it was instantaneous, and it happened. It was completely healed. That's 25%. Okay? The reason why I'm sharing these stats is, again, we human nature. If it's not completely healed, oh, well, not God's will to heal. Oh, I'm such a loser. Oh, I'm not worthy, all that stuff. Or I don't have a healing ministry, you know. You know, we're all on this faith journey together. We're at different levels. And we're all going to run the race. Jesus, the finisher of our, an author and finisher of our faith. And he's going, you can do it, you can do it. And we're all at different levels. And where one person may be strong in healing, somebody else may be strong in evangelism. Somebody else may be strong in care ministry. You see what I'm trying to say? Okay? But the devil, the accuser of our brethren, comes around and says, you loser, you can't do anything, woe is you, and all that stuff. And we believe it, right? We believe all these lies of the enemy, right? I'm sharing that. Again, this is not gospel truth, just observation here, okay? If that's the case, you know what? If somebody is improved, I'll take that. Because like somebody going to a doctor's office and some of the headache pain is gone. I'll take any improvement. Because little is still better than nothing. Amen? So even as you are seriously considering this healing ministry, okay, have to be realistic here, okay? The anointing doesn't come just like, it may, for some people, it may, but from observations, okay, you have to develop your faith. Just like, could all five guys here have done 100 push-ups if they'd never trained? Probably not. But there could be like this freakish, you know, person whose parents are marathon racers and all that and have some incredibly freakish muscles and they can do it first time. But probably not. Well, then you have to train. And you know what? God is not into instantaneousness all the time. And even Jesus here. We all think that whenever Jesus healed, it happened right away. No, it didn't. Okay? Like, here's an example. It did not. It took a second prayer. Okay? And so, I hope this helps you here. Prayer is often a process. It requires time. Prayer develops our faith muscle. Yes. And even when Heidi Baker inspired me to develop my own healing ministry, I remember. And I have my story in my book here, by the way. You know, I would pray for the first person, and didn't get healed. Pray for a second birth, didn't get healed. And I went to 50 people. Heidi Baker was 20. I went to 50. But I was okay because I'm not Heidi Baker, right? I didn't go through this multiple days stuff of being slain in spirit. So I thought, okay, I got to give myself more time, okay? But in the natural, I started to get a little discouraged because it's like more. This is more than double Heidi Baker now. Pray for 50 people already. But I thought, just pray for the 51st person. A bad knee, okay, just lay hands on that knee and, oh, I felt a tingle. You did? Really? Really? Where'd that come from, right? Oh, are you feeling better? Yeah? You really? Wow! The 51st person got healed fine after 50 people. I was like, I got it! I got it now, right? Pray for this brother. Oh, man. No healing? How come? I thought that was a breakthrough because Heidi Baker, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, right? Is your name Terry? No. Your name Terry? Oh, no. No wonder. The name thing, right? Or whatever it is. And after that, it was like 45 people. But then the 46th person got healed. After that, another 40. Then the 41st. Are you seeing a pattern here? My faith is developing. But even after the first one, it was just developing. Still developing. Today, it's still developing. One of my gifts of healing, is lengthening legs. Okay, and right away, I wrote a paper on the theology of leg lengthening. Okay, because a lot of people, and you'll see me do this tomorrow night, some people have bad back pains because one leg is shorter than the other. And so what happens is that they're limping, even if it's just so slight, but it's causing undue stress on their back. So what I do is I have them sit down. Now, it's not always the case, but I'll raise up the legs to see if they're even. Now, in some cases, the legs are even, and then I'll just pray for the back. But in a lot of cases, one leg is shorter than the other. So I'll pray right there for the shorter leg to come out. Do you know the first time I did that, it took 20 minutes. Now, not during church service. The congregants would not be that patient, okay? It's like, come on, pastor, come on, hurry up. You know, get a sermon to preach. I got to go home for lunch or whatever, right? I did it in a small group, in a life group. And so I had brothers that I said, you know what? I really want to lengthen legs. That's going to be my desire, right? He says, well, we're with you then. I wasn't even a pastor in those days. You know, I was interning as a pastor, right? And I said, can you guys kind of believe with me? Sure. And I would pray and nothing happened. And then the guy says, keep going. Okay. And 20 minutes, that's a long time to wait, right? But my hallelujah for my brothers who were there that just kept on encouraging me, keep going, right? And in 20 minutes, the leg grew out. And finally, you know, high-fiving each other and all that. But the next time, you know, was it like instantaneous? No, that one took 15 minutes, right? And then the next one, 10 minutes. Well, what you're going to see tomorrow night is seconds now, okay? And in the last 5 years, only two legs have not grown out, and it's because of sin. It was one story I'm going to share with you later, okay? But it's because of sin. And after the sin was dealt with, then the leg grew out, okay? It's like Heidi Baker, 10 for 10 for deafness, okay? That is a gift of healing that God has given to me, and I say it with all humility because without him, I'd be nothing, you know? But see, this is what I'm trying to encourage you. It's a process here. Yes. Faith is like a muscle. You have to develop it. You can't just all of a sudden do 100 push-ups, okay? You got to develop it, but you have the desire, you have the passion. And I'm asking each and every one of you, because if so, you're welcome to be part of our prayer team tomorrow night. It's not going to be a Terry Wong show, because I told him at the beginning, I said, if you want me to do this thing, I'm not going to bring the fire. I'm going to build a fireplace. Because if I bring the fire, when I leave, I take the fire with me. But if I build a fireplace, it stays here. Because I would love to hear that year down the road, hallelujah, that there's a healing team here. And it started with me coming, bringing the fire. I say humbly because I'm just an instrument. It's God who gives the, he's the fire. The Holy Spirit is the fire. Amen? So I hope I'm developing your faith right now. Okay, healing takes fearless faith. Oh boy. Verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, he took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this dude that even the wind and the sea obey him? The dude was my addition. So he rebuked the wind. He said, be still. Then he related them not being able to do anything with fear. Fear is a neutralizer to faith. And some of us wonder, why is my faith not building? Is there a spirit of fear on you? Because it certainly didn't come from God, right? We know the scripture, right? Right? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? Power. There's a power event right now. See, it's the opposite, the antithesis of fear. Right? So that means we got to deal with this fear issue. Because he even said, you know, don't be afraid. Right? And they're so filled with fear, no wonder nothing was happening. Jesus, calm as ever. What's going on? Windstorm. Be still. Now, I want to focus on that part now. This guy has so much, he has no fear at all. Do you know that it's as if he's speaking to a demon? When he says that, Jesus is actually using the same Greek word, pephimozo. Do I have that? Yeah, here it goes. Pephimozo is the Greek word that got translated, be still. Okay, that's in the Greek Bible. He says this earlier in his ministry when he was in a synagogue in Capernaum and a demonized person came into the synagogue. Okay? So then he's starting to approach this guy. So we pick it up in Mark 1, 24, 25. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Yeah, that's how a Chinese demon sounds like, right? Then he says, be quiet. Pephimoso is the same Greek word. In other words, the windstorm, the storm that was coming at the boat, the storms that you encounter, they are not coming from God. And that's another problem some Christians have. When something bad happens, you blame on God. I hate this line. When a Christian gets sick, says, oh yeah, God gave me the sickness because I run ragged in my life and he's teaching me to rest more, to stay in bed. He gave me the sickness so I can rest through it and learn to rest up more. You got to be kidding. God can't give you sickness because there's no sickness in heaven. And it's the same thing. The storm that's coming at you, all these bad things. God, you're giving it, you're attacking me. Why would Jesus speak against God? Right? If that storm was coming from God, why would Jesus go against God? But if it's coming from the devil, that's worth fighting. Right? He even said it. A house will be divided, right? It will fall apart when it's going against each other. And, you know, when the Pharisee is saying, oh, you know, you are working in the power of Beelzebub, which is another name for the devil, right? And he said, you got to be kidding. Why would I work against myself, right? That storm is not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. And the same way he spoke against the demon in the synagogue is the same way he spoke against the storm. So hopefully, that's a revelation. You mean the storm I'm going through is not coming from God? Hallelujah! You're on your first step to deliverance. Because when you think it's God, as I mentioned earlier, then you don't have to, you don't fight it. Because why fight God? Oh, he's trying to humble me, like some preachers would say. Right? Or like that Christian, you know. Oh, God's teaching me how to rest. He can teach you how to rest another way, but he's not going to use something from the devil to do that, right? Right? To attack you that way? Oh, come on. Throw that out. So now, if you know it's not God, hallelujah, Lord, fill me with your agape love, because your love casts out fear. Isn't that what the Bible says? Perfect love casts out fear. Lord, I need more of your love. I need to love the people that are around me. So that's why I'm going to fight the devil on this one. You know, the person I'm praying for right now, I need to have compassion. Because why? You yourself had compassion, right? You just got news that your cousin was beheaded. Remember that story? That's John the Baptist. They beheaded and they gave news to Jesus. And what did the Bible say? This is additional, so it's not going to cost you, okay? But it says that Jesus withdrew. Why? It's his cousin. I would. If I heard that my cousin just got murdered, I would withdraw. But then the crowds followed. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that his cousin just got murdered, right? And they're following him. And then what does the Bible say? When he saw the crowds, he had what? Compassion. That's a love. So because of that, no fear. No fear. Then you know what? Let's minister to them. It says that he healed the sick. See? That's how we fight the fear. Good. Lord, fill me with your love. Compassion. See, some people, some say that, you know, it's all about faith and all that. No, it's not. Because last I read in 1 Corinthians 13:13, right, when it comes to love, faith, and hope, the greatest of these is love. I made a mistake when I was writing my dissertation in my opening paragraph. No. After my opening paragraph, I said, Jesus healed to prove his messiahship. And I submitted to the biblical advisor, who is like a major theologian, written books and everything, commentaries. And he said, Terry, I like what you wrote in general, but that one statement I don't like. He says, what do you mean? He was trying to prove to the Jews that he was the Messiah. Yeah, he did that, but that's not the reason why he healed. That's not the major reason. I says, how come? He says, well, what's the major reason? Because of compassion. Oh, I didn't see that. You know, it's more than just proving that he's the Messiah. Because if he didn't have to prove it, he still would heal. Because he was compassionate. He had love for the people. He did not want to see people suffering. And people that, if you want to have a prayer ministry, a healing ministry, you have to have compassion for people you're praying for. Because then you don't care. If there's something, you don't care anymore, right? No, you got to care enough that you want to passionately pray for them until they have no more pain, that they're not going through any more suffering. Amen? Amen? That's why Jesus healed. That's how we ought to heal as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's talk about the next one here. Healing may be gradual. Well, I thought that, you know, okay, you got one story where he had to pray a second prayer, but it was kind of instantaneously because it was still same event, okay, same hour, you know, it says that, yeah, same hour, that's okay. Well, let's take a look at this one, 2 Kings 20, verses 5 to 7. Okay, first of all, give some background. Hezekiah, he was one of the few good kings of God's holy kingdom there, okay. You know, there was David, Saul, not good. David, pretty good. you know, except for that one major incident, right? And then Solomon was really good, but turned 700 wives, concubines. Oh, what's all that, right? And then after that, the two sons, the kingdom divided, you know, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, all that stuff. And then you read about all the king. Oh, man, he served these idols. Oh, he did the ways of the evil people, all that. You read all that, right? But Hezekiah, one of the few ones, right, when you read, right? In fact, some people think there's a book of Hezekiah, right? You know, turn to the book of Hezekiah, and all these Christians look. Wait a minute. You see a book, right? You know, Isaiah, right? You know, Isaiah, right? Jeremiah, right? Hezekiah, right? Anyway, he's not bad. Well, this one story showed maybe he was not all good because Isaiah comes to him and says, put your house in order. You're about to die. You got a skin disease and it's over. And then Isaiah starts walking out. And like, this is a shock to him. What? I thought I was a good king and all that. You mean I wasn't really living right? You know, maybe I wasn't as close to God? Oh, I can't repent. And it says, the Bible, right? It says he turned his face to the wall, started crying. And, God, please, I repent. Whatever I did wrong. And then he probably knew what it was, but we don't know, you know, exactly what the prayer was. He just repented. He cried out before God. Isaiah's walking out. The Bible says that he's out in the courtyard there, and then God speaks to him. Okay? And now we pick it up. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. And 3 days from now, you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, make an ointment from figs. So Hezekiah's servants spread the ointment over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. Okay. Those of us who know the story, we know verse 6. I will add 15 years to your life. And a lot of messages on that, and they're all good. Yeah, you repent, you go before the Lord, you cry out, and God may just add 15 years to your life when you're supposed to die 15 years earlier. Right? So we know that part. But it says in verse 5, 3 days from now, you will get out of bed. I checked the Hebrew on this. It literally means he wasn't well until 3 days later. So, that means he didn't get healed instantaneously, even though the word of the Lord came. Now, it's a skin disease, right? I'm already suffering landing here last night. Brother Rick, I had to put on a whole bunch of body lotion on my skin. It was drying out because these are Hawaii skins. I can't take this 30-degree weather. You go, wolves, our heart bleed for you, you know. Anyways, and then this morning, I woke up scratching, okay, and I had a heater on. Just the air, I don't know what it was, you know? And so again, after the shower this morning, just packing on the body lotion and all that stuff, okay? It's irritating. I wish I I wish I was doing this in Hawaii. I wish you guys all flew out to Hawaii and we can all be in beach clothes, on the sand, all that. Hallelujah, amen. Do you know he has sent out 2 missions teams to Hawaii? For those who are newer to the church, he did that. On one trip, he came out too. Remember that? We had a great time. Had the team stay over at the church, and it was a real missions trip. Went around the community and did the healing stuff, you know. And Pastor Eric yesterday said he's interested in, with your blessing, right? I had that little clause, you know, with your blessing, would love to take a team to Hawaii again. See, we can do this in Hawaii, right? And you know what? Then Pastor Terry would not have skin that's all itchy. Hezekiah was itchy. It did not feel good. And yet, the word of the Lord came to him, and Isaiah was like a major prophet, right? I mean, his book that he wrote is called the 5th gospel of the Bible, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the first four. I mean, well, they were after him, but they were, because it's all about the Messiah, right? Isaiah, that's why fifth gospel. So he's a major guy, and he already said, you will get healed at 15 years. Hallelujah. But why am I still, you know, what's going on? 3 days. I'm only complaining after less than 1 day. I arrived here at 6:30 p.m. last night, and I'm complaining already. What a, man, Terry Wong, you know, like, what are you? This is 3 days. And I wonder if maybe on the second day, he's saying, maybe Isaiah heard wrong. Right? You've had prophets here, and you've gotten a personal prophecy, and it still hasn't come. Maybe he heard wrong. Or maybe it's not going to happen at all. Right? We start, but see, again, that's not robust faith. You're going to hold on no matter what it takes. He waited 3 days. And then it wasn't just the word of the Lord. The word also says, see, Isaiah said in verse 7, I want to make sure I included this part in this passage. Isaiah, the man of God, heard from God and said, make an ointment from figs. What's that? Medicine. So Hezekiah's servant spread the medicine over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. Again, there's this false theology out there. If God's going to heal you, don't interrupt him. Don't mess him up. Okay? Take those pills that the doctor gave you and flush them down the toilet. Don't take that blood transfusion even though you lost quarts and quarts of blood from the accident. Dear God, how many people have died from listening to that kind of theology? Isaiah himself said, it's okay to use medicine. That came with the healing. God can heal directly without any, and by the way, I have another, like if I was to do a part two, Pastor Rick, okay, I had even show how God can use the supernatural with the natural and the varying degrees. That's another message, okay, that I've done research on, okay? Because he made it anyways. We have this idea that God has to supernaturally, with an invisible hand, go in when you have a heart problem and then does whatever thing and take his hand out again and you're all healed and no need doctor, no need hospital, no medicine, nothing. Okay? We get this idea. But the medicine is part of his creation anyways. Why can't he do it that way? Why are we limiting God? Because we want God to do a, what, so he can brag? Say, oh yeah, I didn't have to go to a doctor. I didn't have to go to a hospital. I took no medicine like you have to, you know. Well, I guess your faith level is different from mine. And God reached out, healed me, hallelujah, and I can testify on Sunday morning. It's not about you. Amen. How God does it, let's just be happy that he would do anything for you.
That's right.
And on this occasion, yeah, would it have been a greater testimony that Hezekiah got healed right there and then, and he could tell the whole kingdom because he's a king. God healed me in 1 second. Ho, 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 you're so close to God. It took 3 days. I wonder what happened during those 3 days of scratching, of discomfort. I can guess what. Because he already showed a repentant heart. I'm sure during those 3 days, he's seeking God even more. God, how long do I have to wait? You know, how long? This itchiness. Like why do I have to go through this? Because you need to draw closer to me. Do you know God is more interested in your relationship with him than the actual healing? Yes, this focus on healing. But God is more interested in your heart than your body. What good, I've said this so many times during a healing service. What good is if you get healed and you're not a Christian? You will die still. And you won't go to heaven. What good is that? What's more important is that? Let's get your heart healed. Let's make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you're healed or not physically, you're going to go to heaven. Isn't that the greater blessing? Right? Now, of course, as Christian, we want both. And God's all into that. Okay? But sometimes we put so much weight on the physical healing and not on the spiritual. And that's another reason why sometimes the healing doesn't come instantly. It's not that is not God's will. Have I said that enough today? And I'm going to probably keep saying it because too many are indoctrinated with that one. Okay, get that out. Okay, maybe he's doing a work. It's still his will, but he's doing a work so you can be even closer to him, so that when you get the healing, you can really praise him, and then you can be used by God to help somebody else. That would glorify God even more. See, but we don't see that in our own little tunnel vision. Let God be God, right? Just you do your part. So, yeah, as a guy didn't get healed for 3 days, but see, God's prophetic work did not preclude natural ways. Healing can include medicine. So I hope that saves a lot of you right there, okay? Hallelujah. Let's do something right now before our next break. Let's do this. We're building up your faith right now. If there's anybody who is going through any kind of pain, I want you to stand up. If you're going through any kind of pain. Just be honest. Don't have to. If you have some pain, stand up. Okay. The people who are sitting, you're going to be the healing team right now. Okay? I'm going to pray a general prayer, and then let's make sure that everybody is going to have at least one hand laid upon them. You see the people standing. Okay? Those who are sitting, you're going to go around, and you're going to lay hands on the people who are standing. And then you just pray. Now, you already know what the problem is. There's pain. Okay? Those who are standing, put your hand where the pain is. Okay, so they can see it. Okay, wherever the pain is. All right. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we'll release and activate those who are sitting down so that you can go and pray for those who are standing up right now. Okay? And then you pray through it, and then at the right moment, I'll just close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask, what's the pain level now? Okay? We're going to do this little exercise because we don't have to be in service. We already had some good worship at the beginning. God's already here. We're two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst, right? And we praise the Lord, and he inhabits the praise of his people. God is here. And is it God's will to heal?
Yes.
Always, right? So we're going to take him at his word. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's a noun. He wants you healed. Amen? He wants that pain to go away. Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, as we've been learning from your word, you said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We just learned that we have to have robust faith. And because we begin into your word, Lord, let that faith now be activated. Let it not be small. Let it be believing in what you can do right now, because it's your will that these people will have their pain leave their bodies. And so, Lord, I am activating those who are sitting down right now. Let the anointing that you have placed on me go upon them right now, all by your grace. And that, Lord, as they lay hands, there will be a power that will be released, and that bodies will be healed today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, those who are sitting, just go around, and let's make sure that everyone is being prayed over who is standing up, okay? Hallelujah. 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 And if there's somebody who hasn't had somebody praying for them, just tell them, okay? Say, hey, pray for me, okay? Let's have everybody being prayed over right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's some women here. You want to go and just lay hands on them, okay? Go from behind, lay hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray with faith. Believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the pain go away, Lord. Let the pain go away. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your healing virtue be released now. Your healing power release, be released right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha, heal, 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 because you're the healer. Hallelujah. We praise the healer right now. Release your healing power. Release it. Take away the pain. Take away the pain now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for releasing your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this room. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us about your will to heal. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you have done a good thing. And, Lord, I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies. And so, Lord, let it glorify your name. Let it testify about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Before we take a break, those who had pain, okay, can you stand up again? Those who had pain, can you stand up? Okay. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to kind of shake around. Okay. I'm going to ask this twice. Once before the break and once after the break, okay? Because right now it's before the break. How many of you have less pain than before the prayer right now? Hallelujah. Okay, let's take our break. Then I'm going to ask that question again. And for some of you, it may be just like an 8 to a 6, okay? But for some of you, maybe like a 7 to a 0, okay? I want to hear some of that because we want to glorify God. Amen? Amen. So, 7 minutes again? Okay, 7-minute break. So, I have 11:20, 11:27, come back.